Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back to another sparkling edition of The Thoughts Police with Matt Kelly, the founder, as he's now called, of the New European, and me, Mike Graham. Now, I have to tell you that today is supposed to be a big day in the life of the Tory government under Boris Johnson, because today is supposed to be the day where there's a cabinet reshuffle. And there's a couple of things I want to mention about this. One, Katie Perrier, who used to work for Theresa May, who's a good friend of mine, she wrote a piece in the Sunday Times the other week about why she thought it was a good idea to job share in the cabinet, because her view is of the world that there's not enough good women politicians at the moment in the cabinet.
Right.
And the problem that he might have is that if he kicks a couple of women out, he then is faced with putting women in who might just be being put in because they're women, because he's getting told by Carrie Simmons, you know, his girlfriend...
Maybe she just put Carrie in and be
done
with
it. Why doesn't he just make Carrie the Chancellor of the Exchequer?
Yeah.
She seems to be calling quite a few of the shots. And you might remember that way back at the beginning, and you had to end up agreeing with me, when I said to you,
I did,
taking this young woman into Downing Street with him for the first time, having a girlfriend in there since 1922, is a bad idea.
Yeah. And what do you think? Do you think he should marry her?
Well, I think he should
make
marry
an
her.
Honest woman.
Well,
of
I think
it'd be a lot easier to make an honest woman of Earth than to make an honest man
of
him.
Well, I mean, as people have said to me, I don't think Boris cares whether he's married to her or not. I mean, it's not necessarily going to change his behaviour. However, the point is that there's something slightly wrong, in my view. You might say I'm very old fashioned here. Slightly wrong in having a girlfriend in Downing Street. It just doesn't sound right. It doesn't look right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what if he breaks up with her and gets another girlfriend? You know, my girlfriend. You know, she's my girlfriend. You know,
if he just keeps coming in,
he just,
the
you know,
clubs,
turns up with some bird from the
date.
Ministry of Sound.
Some
you know,
Tinder date.
Yeah, she's my girlfriend. What do you think I should do about the old HS2? Yeah, I think you should keep it, man.
Yeah,
great. Okay, let's do that then. I mean, that's, you know, I know that she's, you know, people say to me, oh, but she's a very committed conservative. You know, she's been with the party a long time. She's in the press office.
Yeah,
she was out campaigning for Zach Goldsmith. A lot of good that did him.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sorry. You know, she's just his girlfriend.
I mean, I think it should be, if she is genuinely chipping in about, you know, what...
Well, she's bound to be, isn't she?
Yeah, but it should be completely verboten.
I mean, she's obviously driving his love of Extinction Rebellion and all things eco-plankery about saving
the
planet.
Does he love Extinction Rebellion?
Well, I mean, he's giving them airtime. He's giving them, you know, the oxygen publicity. He's holding a climate conference.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with Sir David Attenborough.
Which is going to be... Apparently, that's going to be the most foreign presidents and prime ministers and that ever on British soil.
Really?
Yeah.
God, blimey. And they're going to Glasgow as well, aren't they?
I know.
What a waste of everybody's time.
I know.
It really is. And then he's got this whole kind of, you know, he's all about animal rights, which is her other big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and she was very good on early release and the whole War Boys thing, and we know about that, and that's good. But nevertheless,
I can sympathise with him a little bit, because you do have to, for domestic harmony, you've got to swing behind the views and opinions of your loved ones.
Well,
to a
not
degree.
Really, though. I mean, not when you're the Prime Minister, really. I mean, if you are running a company, right, and your wife decides that she wants to be, you know, the best well-paid advisor on the company board,
yeah.
You can't just appoint her.
No.
Because people will go, hang on a second, what gives you the right to give her a job?
Yeah. Same that, not like being like an old man with a bunch of kids that you could just sort of hand out massive parts of the business to.
What you mean, like the royal family?
Like Rupert Murdoch.
Well, listen, I don't think you should go there, because that's very
because
unfair.
Because he pays your bills.
Well, he does, yeah. And I'm not going to criticise Rupert Murdoch. No, there's no point in me pretending that I ever would, because I think he's a magnificent character.
No, nor would I.
And I think he's employed more journalists than you ever have. At the new European.
Well, that's for sure.
You know, how many have you employed now? Two.
Two.
Yeah, there you go. He's got quite a long way to go.
Yeah.
No, the point is that, you know, if you run a company that way, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's your company to run in any way you want.
Yeah.
But if you were, say, for example, the, I don't know, chairman of, let's think of a company.
GlaxoSmithKline.
GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah.
And you go, well, my wife's, you know, she goes to Boots all the time and... you know, not in any way denigrating women here, but, you know, she knows her onions when it comes to, you know, paracetamol.
Yeah.
Can we not bring her in and put her on the board? They'd go, get lost.
Yeah.
You know, if she's got a degree in pharmacology and, you know, she's worked for, you know, Pfizer, bring her in.
Yeah.
But not just because she's your missus. You know, I've come up with this great plan. Here's what we're going to do in the future. We're going to expand in Asia. We're going to, you know, cut back a little bit in South America.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Well, because my wife and I were talking at dinner last night, and we thought that's the way to go.
And she fancies a few weeks in
Bangkok.
Well,
this is how Downing Street's being run, as far as I can tell.
So are you saying that the nation is now being run by Carrie Symons?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
I think so. It's a sort of Harry and Meghan situation. I don't wish to get too bogged down in the details.
Yeah.
But, you know, Prince Harry has been completely mesmerised by this woman.
Yes.
Right, and we all know why. And similarly...
Because he loves her.
No, that's not it.
Oh,
she has made him dependent upon her.
Really?
Right, well, because she's convinced him that only she can make him happy.
Right.
She's convinced him that he needs therapy.
What, through hypnosis or something?
Well, I don't think it's hypnosis, no. I think it's another method, right? And I think similar things are going on inside number 10.
Yeah.
Where, you know, this woman has basically bewitched him.
Yeah. So are you on Dominic Cummings' side in this one?
I am,
actually. He's not elected either.
No, but it's his job to advise the government, right?
Right.
That's his job.
Right.
He's a government advisor. Now, you might not like the fact he's not elected.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's his job.
But Boris...
What's her job?
Well, part of Boris Johnson's appeal for Carrie Symons, I assume, is that she is, like, an incredibly intelligent and politically savvy young woman.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that she can start dictating how the country's run.
No, but
he
may be interested in you know, yeah, he must ask thousands of people what they think and then ignore them. So she might as well be on the queue as well.
Yeah, but he's not ignoring her. That's my point. You know, remember when Hillary Clinton said back in the day when Bill was running for president first time, and I covered the thing, and she said, you know, the great thing about me is you get two for the price of one.
Yeah.
And everybody went, well, that's all right, darling. We don't want you, actually.
Have you had a bog off?
Yeah, get lost. Yeah. You know, we do not want two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Then she decided it'd be a great idea to revolutionise the American healthcare system.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
And he let her have
and
a
he
crack.
Gave it to her just to shut her up
and
so that he could get out on the odd Friday night and get up to whatever he wanted to get up to. Because that's how it all works, right?
Yes.
And it all went horribly wrong. And
with
people
Monica.
Thought, actually... That's not what we voted for. We voted for Bill Clinton. We didn't vote for Bill and Hillary.
So maybe if she wasn't so obsessed with fixing the American health system, Monica Lewinsky wouldn't have got a chance.
To be honest, I think Bill was always going to get himself into trouble in that area because that's the kind of guy he is.
How has he become this extraordinarily grand statesman all of a sudden?
Do you know what the word is?
I mean, he's a sleazy bastard, isn't he?
Do you know what the word is?
Go on.
Foundation.
Foundation?
Just start yourself a foundation.
Right.
And that way... You can never do anything wrong.
Really?
I went to see Bill Clinton in Glasgow, right?
Yeah.
At the behest of a friend of mine, my wealthy friend in Glasgow, who bought a table at a function that he was speaking at.
Yeah.
500 quid a pop.
What?
For the people just to sit at the table.
What,
right?
Per person?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not 500 quid a table.
Huh?
He made something like 250,000 quid for that
Good
appearance alone.
God.
For his foundation. Tony Blair's got one. Gordon Brown's got one. I'm pretty sure that Barack Obama's got one.
Yeah.
Bill Gates has got one, but actually the Bill Gates Foundation spends does do great things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't see the Clinton Foundation doing anything other than basically keeping Bill and Hillary Clinton in the style to which they'd like to become accustomed, you know.
Yeah.
It's and, massive. I mean, it's a great...
But the guy, you know, I mean, people like go, oh, Bill, he's amazing. He looks like, you know, when he's talking to you, it's like you're the only person in the room.
It is. I mean, he does have that talent. He has that talent all great sort of leaders have.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I've interviewed him once standing up in at the back of the Ritz when he won the nomination in New York. And I got about literally 10 minutes with him.
Yeah.
Made it a two-part series in the Sunday Express.
Yeah.
It was tremendous, you know.
Yeah.
And he is exactly that guy. Yeah. Just in the, you know, I just stood in front of him and waited for him to come with the Secret Service and just literally stopped him.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get around me
because
it was that busy, you know. And he was staring into my eyes. He's quite tall.
Yeah.
You know, and he's very charismatic.
Yeah.
That's why women love him.
Yeah.
You know. And Tony Blair had the same ability, the same quality.
Yeah.
Boris probably is the same. I don't know if Boris is the same, but I mean,
imagine. Well, I've seen Boris up front and. You know, he's definitely got a charisma.
He knows how to work the room,
isn't
he?
Yeah, for sure. And he's funny as well. You get away with murder if you're funny.
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
Almost literally.
But so here's the thing. You know, I'm not at all happy with, you know, this kind of, you know, package deal.
Yeah.
Where you get... And everybody said to me, when I was talking about this on the radio the other day, well, what about Theresa May's husband? You know, he was obviously, you know, a guy that she listened to. What about, you know, Dennis Thatcher?
Yeah.
Who was not only being...
Sherry Blair.
Well, Sherry Blair.
Yeah.
You know, these were all people who profited quite handsomely from their partners being the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I get all that. But somehow it just doesn't feel right.
Because they're not married.
Because she's his girlfriend. And not for very long either,
no,
by the way.
No, so I'm not
worried. It's only, what, last year when we were talking about them fighting in classroom.
That's right.
And I said then, you know, if this is a volatile relationship because he spilled some red wine, what's going to happen? What's going to be going on in Downing Street?
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out, actually, don't worry about the spillages of the red wine. She's now running the Treasury. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't think
it's
right.
That's one way to keep them happy.
What about, talking of foundations, right? What about old Harry and Meghan? We haven't spoken about them yet.
No. They did a big speech, didn't they?
JP Morgan.
Yeah.
Now, JP Morgan, you'll like this, right? Been a bit of a closet lefty.
Yeah.
JP
closet
Morgan
about my lefties.
It's a merchant bank.
Yes.
Okay. They've been criticised for some of the practices that they were involved in, which you might describe as sharp.
Yeah.
Money laundering.
Yes.
A little bit of tax evasion. You know, certainly activities that you wouldn't think...
Financial skullduggery.
Financial skullduggery of the highest order, like all Wall Street companies have done. I'm not singling them out.
Yeah.
It's hardly the sort of place to go, not only to receive in excess of what we're now told is about 700,000 quid, but also to make a speech about how you've been in therapy for 7 years.
Yeah. I can't believe it's what Diana would have wanted.
Well, I can't believe, a lot of people can't believe, that he's now actually making money off of her legacy.
Yeah.
He's now actually talking about his mother and making hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, it does.
That's pretty shocking, isn't it?
I mean, you don't want to say it because, at the end of the day, the guy is...
I want to say
he lost his mum. Yeah, I know, but something in you... Well, I'll speak for myself.
Right.
Something in me wants to give him the benefit of the doubt, but that does just look like grubby kind of money.
Not only that, they fly from Vancouver to Florida in the JP Morgan private jet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's going to end horribly, isn't it? Isn't it?
It really isn't good.
I mean, I think divorce is going to be a good outcome for him. It might be worse.
Yeah.
You know, God knows what will happen.
Well, at least then we'll get him back.
Yeah.
You know.
But he seems like he's really messed up.
Oh, he has.
You know.
Seemingly now fully bought into this idea, though, that he's damaged.
Yes.
And I've got
And
lots
once
of
you
people...
believe that, then you are.
Yeah. Well, everything, you can have find an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
You know, what did you do that for? Oh, so I'm damaged. You know, I'm really, you know, my mental health is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got loads of, over the course of the last few days, loads of people genuinely suffering whose parents died when they were young.
Yeah.
You know, whose parents died in a car crash, who have nothing, who are not multi-millionaires, who are not protected by, you know, the royal family's, you know, very good protection.
Yeah.
And they go, what's this going on about?
Yeah. I've got a friend who's been through the most awful thing recently and went for a long walk with him the other day, and he's just got to the point where he's saying, you know, I just about see a crack of light where I can just about envisage that one day it might not be desperate.
Yeah.
But what he's been through, none of us would want to go through.
And for most people who go through awful stuff, they don't really want to talk about it to an audience of millions.
The only thing I would say is it is possible. I mean, I remember Do you remember them all trooping behind her coffin?
Yeah.
And they walked about a bloody mile and a half through central London. And he was, what, about 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that?
You know, somebody pointed this out to me the other day. William was only 3 or 4 years older than him.
Yeah.
Why is he not affected?
Well, I know, but, I mean, whether, you know, well, maybe he is, I don't know, but whether or not, you know, one was and one wasn't, but that was an awful, horrendous thing to put a little boy through.
Maybe.
And you've got to look at, you know, the Duke of Edinburgh, right, who presumably was intrinsic in saying, right, come on, stiff upper lips, know, right, everybody march on.
Yeah.
His father, you know, if that was your son, wouldn't you say, there's just no way I am going to force my kids to walk through London behind their mother's coffin?
But I think that's the whole dichotomy of the royal family, that you and I and ordinary people can't quite gather what that's all about.
No.
But the royal family, for good or bad, whether it's intrinsically not good for all of their mental state, have always operated like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Queen has probably, I'm sure, had to sit on that bloody horse, side saddle, you know, when she hasn't been feeling great, you know, but she does it because that's her job.
Yeah.
In the same way that I suppose they would have said to themselves and to the kids, this is what we do.
Yeah.
This is a national day of mourning.
Mm.
You need to be there.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, there's being there, but then there's like, I mean... Following the coffin like that seems
You know what?
This is my point. That kind of thing could give you PTSD.
Could it?
I think so. That you could never quite... I mean, it could damage you...
See, I think it's overused, that PTSD thing.
Well, you know, I think it is a thing.
You could suffer from grief. You could suffer
For sure.
A depression.
Yeah.
I mean, I think PTSD should be reserved for people who have actually been in violent situations.
Yeah, surely. Well, I think the point about it is it's post-traumatic stress disorder, right? So anything that causes you real trauma.
But this is part of the problem, isn't it? Because that's not real trauma. I mean, real trauma is getting shot at, isn't it, by somebody?
Well, I don't know. Your mother getting mangled up in a car in Paris and you know,
well,
and
I'm
you're
sure
10
that's
years
probably
old.
Helped when he hears this podcast, your description of how his mother died mangled up in a car.
No secrets, is it?
No, that's true. Yeah. I think the point is there comes a time when you have to take it on the chin. And it's all very well to look for reasons why life is crap.
Do you think that people like... People who are well off and have got a load of money and have got everything they want, should they never suffer from depression?
No, I don't think they shouldn't ever suffer from depression, but I think that they have a lot of responsibility. People like him, in positions of privilege, which is what he is, and what he was born into, and as tragic as it was when his mother died, he was still a very privileged young man, and he lived a life of great privilege, and he didn't ever have to worry about anything at all.
And also...
And I think if you're... You can be depressed about the death of your mother, but you're not still then thinking, how the hell am I going to get through the rest of my life? Because
if he was, he's managed to keep it to himself right up until the moment he met Meghan.
There's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Well, now suddenly she's convinced him that
he's
damaged goods.
You've got to be in touch with your feelings,
darling. Yeah, I mean, he claims he's been seeing a therapist for 7 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That means he was seeing a therapist, by my reckoning, when he was, you know, hanging about with a lot of strippers in Vegas. Now... I don't know what he told the therapist, but he looked like he was quite happy then.
Yeah.
And I know it's not that simple. I know that you can't assume that everyone who's happy is happy because they're wealthy or because they've got a nice life. But certainly it's true to say, and this is another Kelvin saying, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness, but it buys you an awful lot of nice places to go to be miserable in.
Yeah.
You know, which is true. Because I can guarantee you, if I'm sitting on the rooftop bar of the Abu Dhabi, you know, Hyatt Regency, I'm a lot less depressed than if I'm sitting in a basement picking, you know, the eyes out of the potatoes for the shop upstairs that's selling chips, right? I'm pretty sure.
You said that almost as though you had some experience of that.
Well, I was trying to... Well, I mean, I have experience of picking... I used to... When I worked for the bakery, my first job was in this very cold basement picking the green shoots out of the strawberries.
Really?
And if you've never seen what happens to your fingernails when you've your fingers in strawberry juice, they're just constantly red.
They're the thing. It's those kind of jobs where you've got to do a tiny thing thousands of times.
Yeah.
You know, like peeling prawns.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell can get your head around the fact that you're going to have to peel 3,000 prawns today or
Christ.
More?
Yeah, why would you do that, though?
I don't know, to earn
Who
a crust.
Who peels prawns?
Somebody does.
Where?
Is there a machine to do it, maybe?
Well, I don't know. What are you talking about, like the things that you... Like the frozen prawns that you buy?
Yeah, but you like a little bag of prawns, right? Or a bag full of small prawns.
Yeah.
Like, they don't come like that.
No.
Someone's peeled them.
They're usually cooked as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
So maybe
cooking them's easy enough. Do you think it falls off when you cook it?
Maybe it falls off. I bet you there's some kind of a prawn... dispenser
yeah.
that you put the prawns through.
Yes.
And by the time it's gone through, because I mean,
it dispenses them.
We were talking about the IKEA program the other day, right?
There are some very interesting stuns, then kills them.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But there's some very weird devices that you can find in these like food factories. There's a weird program that I've occasionally seen. And to be honest, I'd rather watch this stuff than most drama.
Yeah.
There's a show that does things like they go to the biscuit factory and see how biscuits
with
are made.
With that Greg, what's his face? Greg Wallace.
That's him, yeah.
And if it wasn't for the fact
and
that...
And it's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, but I can't watch it because it's Why? Greg bloody Wallace.
Well, you don't like him.
Well, because he's just too enthusiastic. Yeah, he never but, you stops know, going, wow, look at that, it's the most amazing biscuit I've ever seen. Wow, how many did you make? 2 billion biscuits? Well, oh, blimey! Billion.
But what I'm saying is that they have these amazing machines which do all sorts of stuff.
Of course they do.
You know, so I imagine there will also be machines that peel shrimp, wouldn't there?
Well, no. Now, I do actually have some knowledge of shrimps. Because I used to go... I used to work on Southport Fairground, like Pleasureland.
You've told us about the collecting of the coins that used to fall out of people's pockets.
So so all the money falling out the back of the waltz, and you used to get a colander and sieve it out, sieve out the sand at the end of the night. But early morning, occasionally, we'd go out with the shrimpers, some of whom also worked on the fairground.
Right.
And they go out, Southport Beach goes on forever, right? And it, very, very shallow. And they go out in tractors with these extendable arms.
Oh, yeah.
And the arms sort of net all these shrimps.
Right.
You bring them back and then you boil them.
Right.
But then you've got to let them cool down and then you peel them.
Oh, really?
And you peel them by hand. And a shrimp is the size of your, you know, thumbnail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing I used to find that was the worst was doing that sort of job in really cold weather.
Yeah,
because if you were in the bakery, which was sort of across the way, that was obviously quite warm because of the ovens. But this was kind of the storage place, right?
Yeah.
So it was just lines and lines of fridges, lines and lines of shelves, and you'd stand literally on this cold floor.
Yeah.
And I had a big white coat, which was way too big for me because I was quite a small kid when I was 14.
Yeah.
And these red, just red hands from this picking the strawberries. And it was just box after box after box after box.
Yeah.
And I'd do it for about 5 hours,
Would you eat
hours.
Strawberries while you were doing it?
No, because it was too cold.
Yeah.
You just never fancied it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd occasionally go in and get a cup of tea.
I used to work in QuickSave, and in Formby. And I remember going for the interview, and I had this interview.
You had an interview?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had the interview with the store manager and the head checkout person, right? And I obviously did really well at the interview. And at the end of it, they said, so we'll give you training and we'll provide you with a knife, right? And
knife?
I said, bloody hell, how rough does it get in here? Right, and they all start laughing. Yeah, I mean, because you had to open all the boxes with a Stanley knife, But every time it was lunchtime, we used to go get whatever you wanted for lunch, like some ham or whatever, cheese or whatever.
So you make your own.
And you'd slash it with the knife,
right.
And then you'd take it into the damaged goods thing and say it was opened, it was slashed open with your knife while you were opening the box.
Right.
And that was your free lunch.
Oh,
said.
Okay.
Yeah,
but everybody knew.
If you
that,
ever got caught, though, you get fired.
Everyone was in on that, presumably.
Everyone was in on it. Do you know the most amazing thing about QuickSave in those days, right? The checkout girls, and they were, I say that because they were all women.
Yeah.
Knew the price of everything.
Right.
Nothing had labels or stickers on it, and they didn't have any barcode scanners in those days. They knew the price of everything. And every week they had to do a test where someone would put together a full trolley, and they had to get it within, you know, 10 pence or something like that. Otherwise they'd have to do it again and retrain. But they knew the price of everything.
Wow.
Right? I mean, what a skill.
That is a great skill.
And they were earning, you know, 60p an hour.
You go to a supermarket now, you can't even get them to give you the change that you know that you have to give you.
Yeah.
Before they put it into the machine.
That's right.
You know.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But I haven't really had any bad shopping experiences recently to tell you about.
Have you not?
No. I'll tell you what I do want to talk to you about, though, because you know how we like our scientific conversations.
Yes.
I haven't got an update for you on the tree, by the way, this week. I've got my theories.
Has it not blown away?
Well, I think it might have got blown away. There's a chance that it did get blown away.
Well, I'm staggered that its newfound root system didn't hold it in.
Well, you know, the winds were very strong. You know, it ripped it right out of the ground. So I'm going to have to check on it next week. Right? Yeah. However... have you seen this mission to the sun?
I know, amazing.
This is great, right?
Amazing.
They're now going to... I mean, it reminds me of the old joke that you can't tell anymore, but it was about the Irishman, the Irish space program, right? So I think I can tell it on here, because if anybody's listening, you please don't be offended. It's not meant to be offensive.
Yeah.
And but the Irish Space Agency launches this big press conference, and everyone turns up, and they give this huge spiel about, you know, we're going to be the first people in space to go to the surface of the sun. It's going to be great. And finally, they get the first question. The hand goes up and says, excuse me, can you please tell us how you're going to get to a place which is so hot that you'll literally melt before you get anywhere near it? And he goes, no problem. He says, we're going at night. And I mean, I saw, I can think about when I saw this NASA stroke European Space Agency, you know, kind of combined operation.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
But there's loads of British science on it, isn't it?
But here's the bit that I find absolutely mind-boggling. Because I was talking to this expert, who's really good, lovely guy, works for some astronomynow.com organisation, right?
Yeah.
Greg Smy-Rumsby, his name is.
Oh.
He said to me, even as we speak, we are travelling around the sun at 170,000 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
170,000 kilometres an hour.
Of course we are, mate.
Well, you say that.
Yeah.
But I literally can't fathom it. Take it in.
Every time I have a birthday, I just put on Facebook, I say, I have now completed my 50th orbit of the sun. and because that is what it is.
That's what
a year is an orbit of the sun.
Christ.
And so, I'm 50 years old. I've been around the sun 50 times.
If you're travelling 170,000 kilometres an hour, how far is that?
A long way.
It's quite a long way away,
the sun.
You're not joking.
Yeah,
but
it's not like going to Coventry.
But do you not find... Well, who wants to go to Coventry? Even IKEA and believe in, you know.
Of course it's mind-boggling, yeah.
Yeah,
and then you think about...
Because I'm looking out behind you, right, where we're sitting, and I'm looking at the London sort of, you know, landscape.
Yeah.
And the clouds are moving.
Yeah.
But nothing else is.
Well, that's because we've got this thing called an atmosphere.
Yes.
And we've also got...
But they're not moving very quickly.
No, but that's the clouds move in correlation to the movement of the Earth.
Right. They don't always move the same way, though.
No, of course. Well, they do, actually. They all. I mean, the weather systems come in the same way, and that's based on the movement of the Earth.
I'll tell you what was interesting. At the weekend, when I came up during a big rainstorm, you could actually see where the rain was.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something normally you only see, like, in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Or somewhere where there's a lot of,
shower curtain.
Where you can see it
rain.
Coming towards you, you know.
Do you know the most fascinating thing about that sun mission is that the heat protection on it is so good that some of the instruments have actually got heaters inside as they get closer to... Because it's so effective.
Do you know what this guy told me?
Go on.
As well as all the titanium that they've got up there. So this is one for Joaquin Phoenix again.
Yeah.
It turns out that they've also got a huge sort of... collection of cow's bones,
right?
Which have been somehow used as an adhesive, right? Because you know, it's true, right? Do you not remember during the CJD
days? What is this, like a Flintstone satellite?
Wait, give me the cow bones. Oh, but apparently, because if you remember the CJD days, right?
Yeah.
When somebody did, I remember this because we did the Express, we had to do a big spread on all the things that involve. Byproducts of cattle, which you wouldn't expect, like gelatin, right? Which is a fairly obvious one, but there's loads of others, And because I remember it this well, because Paul Crosby, who's now in PR, is the consumer affairs correspondent, he got it all completely fucking wrong, right? So all these companies started threatening to sue the Express because they're like, our stuff doesn't have cow bones in it. You know, they've done that. What you'd expect them to do, right? Big picture with all of the stuff.
I remember someone put Bovril in one, didn't they? And it's not, it's Oxo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But this thing was riddled with errors, right? It was absolutely hopeless. And I think they had to settle with about five different companies.
Oh, my God.
But there is some kind of quality, some kind of adhesive glue type quality.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember, even you go back to Animal Farm, you know, they had to take the horse to the glue factory because they would melt down the bones and somehow make glue.
Yeah.
So I think... because of the specific nature of this sun, the heat of the sun, they're using cow bones. It's amazing.
That's staggering.
So, I mean, it literally goes from the Flintstones to yeah, you know...
To the sun.
The future.
To infinity and beyond.
But to the future. I find it fascinating.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing that always just freaks me out and makes me feel like not to worry about anything, right? Mm. So we are this star, right? We're orbiting this star.
Right.
And we... Our star is a relatively small-sized star, and it's like two-thirds...
You mean the sun?
Yeah, the sun. And it's about two-thirds out of the Milky Way, right? On one of those spirals of the Milky Way.
Right.
And within the Milky Way, there are something like 100 billion of our suns.
Yeah.
Right? Just, and that is
like
just
solar
in
systems,
our galaxy, right? That's in our galaxy. And then there's like 100 billion Milky Ways out there.
Yeah.
And so the idea that we are of some importance just strikes me as absolute lunacy.
Do you remember the closing sort of episode, well, not episode, the closing sequence of the first Men in Black movie?
I don't. I've never seen it, no.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, you've got to see the Men in Black.
Yeah.
This is tremendous.
Right.
Right at the end, there's a sort of a, they find this thing which is called the Galaxy, which is on Orion's belt.
Right.
And it turns out it's not actually Orion's belt, it's on the cat. It's called Orion,
and
it's the neck. It's the, you know, the choker that goes around
collar,
the cat.
Yeah.
The collar, there you go.
Yeah.
And there's this thing hanging off it, and when you look into it, it looks just like an actual Milky Way.
Ah.
And when they finally get it back for the aliens, they then this big hand comes down.
Yeah.
And it's actually just a marble in the hand of this higher being.
Oh, right? I see.
Which then becomes a bag of marbles, which then, and they just keep pulling out and out and out and out and out until they've got this massive, huge, ridiculously.
Yeah.
Expansive universe.
Yeah.
And that's what we are.
And why not? Why, I mean, who knows how mad it is out there? I'm sure it's not a bloke with a bag of marbles, but I mean, it could be something as insane as that.
It could be anything, couldn't
it? Do you believe in an afterlife?
No.
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 So you think it's just like,
you've got your life
and then it's gone?
Yeah, I think so.
If that's the case,
I'd be more likely to believe in reincarnation of some kind, actually. I mean, I have friends who are Buddhists and Hindus who believe in all that.
Well, I think that's encompassed by the phrase afterlife.
Is it?
Well, something after.
I thought death, afterlife was only
like heaven or something like that.
Was that's what I would think.
Yeah, well, but do you think that there's, once you die, there might be something else?
No, I don't really. No, I said I'd be more likely to believe that your spirit could live on in another being.
Right.
But that's
would
not
you
really
know
an afterlife.
That, yeah, but you couldn't. Obviously, you couldn't know. In which case, it's pointless anyway.
But I mean, I find it very difficult to take anybody seriously who believes in heaven and hell.
Do you?
Yeah.
I definitely think hell is.
Do.
I don't believe in it at all.
Don't
no.
You?
No. I mean, it's really, it's tough because I'm a Catholic.
Well, so am I.
And so you get all this ingrained stuff in you. But then, you know, if
so
you look
my...
at it with any common sense, you sort of say, that must be bollocks.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I
but
mean...
then we've just discussed 2 minutes ago about the fact that it could easily be a bloke with a big bag of marbles.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think that was more of an artistic kind of, permutation of what people
thought.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But, you know, the idea that you somehow appear at the old pearly gates and some guy opens the door.
What, like one of those cartoons in the Nationals when someone dies?
And somebody goes, what's your name?
Hang on,
let's just check what you've got. And then even more hilariously, there's a sort of devil down there with a big load of fire.
Yeah.
And a trident, you know, poking people.
Yeah.
I can't see it. And
no.
I find it really amazing that there are sensible people out there who actually believe in all that.
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, you know, if you take the popes, right, the popes are like very intelligent, learned men.
Right.
And they believe in it more than anyone.
Yeah, well, they've got good reason to believe in it because it keeps
their
them in business.
Yeah.
And they have a very nice life, thank you very much indeed. I mean, you know, they're a bit like the royal family popes, aren't they? They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything.
Except
you
the royal
balcony every now and
again,
waving
they
at
never
a few million
shack,
people.
And the royal family never stop shacking.
Well, you say that, but actually, I think there would be evidence I could point you to, which might suggest otherwise.
Oh, really? What, on the Pope's front?
Well, I mean, I think if you went all the way back to
the
days of the Borgias,
I
don't think they were all that pure.
No.
And I mean, as for the old Nazi. What's his face?
He wasn't a Nazi.
He was
in the Hitler Youth.
He was in Hitler Youth. Oh, okay, sorry.
No, but everyone was. You didn't have any choice. No.
Everyone was not in the Hitler Youth. No, everyone was not in the Hitler Youth, okay?
No, everyone was conscripted. Towards the end of the war, I think everyone was thrown in. Otherwise,
he was quite an enthusiastic member of it, though, wasn't
he? Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Where did you get that from?
I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Why are you defending him?
Well, I'm just trying to...
Not only was he in the Hitler Youth, he also covered up a massive amount of sexual...
Yes,
you know, proclivities that should not have been going on.
That is more to the point.
Ratzinger, his name was.
Yeah, Joseph Ratzinger.
That was one of the more bizarre pieces of news footage I've ever seen, was his helicopter flying him away from the Vatican. Do you remember?
Yes, that's right. To I found the that Castle almost, Gandolfo.
I found it almost called. As kind of mesmerising as the O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Like
chase.
Nixon going away in Marine One.
Yeah, but it was so weird.
Yeah.
That he suddenly just disappeared. It's like a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And you don't hear from him now.
I don't think... He didn't disappear into a puff of smoke. What are you talking about?
Well, no, but it felt like he
flew off in a helicopter.
Yeah, but he was like, he just was suddenly, one day he was there, next minute he's gone.
And all the sound, and the sound, by the way, was that of rotor blades.
I knew you'd get that in. Well, even the papal helicopter had white smoke coming out of it. But the point is he's now gone.
Yeah, and he lives in the sort of summer palace.
Yeah, so he's still very well looked after.
So the thing that pisses... I think I might have mentioned this before. Mm. The thing that really pisses me off about the Catholic Church is that...
It can't be more... There must be more than one thing.
Well, this is the main thing, is how do you justify preaching about, you know, Christ living amongst the poor and, you know, all of this stuff about the need of the world and all of that.
Yeah.
And you got a bloody Michelangelo statue at the entrance of your gilded church in the prime, most expensive part of any European capital, you know, and you got all of this wealth and every church has got a gold chalice and silver plate and all of that. Sell the bloody lot of it and give it away. Mm. Be missionaries. You know, I'd have a lot more respect for priests.
Yeah, why
and
do
for
they
church.
Need all the riches?
Why do they need
and
it?
And also, the Vatican is like a massive organisation. It's not,
it's got a bank.
Here's the Pope and a few other people.
The Vatican
There's hundreds
Bank.
Of thousands of them.
Yeah, and they're all. The Vatican Bank was famously tangled up in the mafia, do you remember?
It was when the guy ended up hanging himself
off
down
there.
Well, whether he hanged himself or whether he was hanged. Roberto Calvi.
Calvi, God's banker.
Yeah, God's banker. He Very dodgy business. My daughter went to the Vatican, right? She decided to go to Rome. Went to the Vatican and she wandered about and she said, you know what she's like. She kind of came out apparently and she said, I saw this guy, he was a handsome looking guy, he was dressed in the whole, you know, the Vatican soldiers outfit.
Yeah.
And she'd managed to walk all the
Swiss
way through.
Guards.
Swiss guards. Yeah. She'd managed to walk all the way through without finding the Sistine Chapel, right? And he said, she goes, excuse me, where's the Sistine Chapel? He's like, it's back in there where you just come from. Oh, I didn't see it. I'm like, didn't you notice everybody was looking up? You know, at the ceiling. No. So she's actually now been to the Vatican, but not seen the roof of the Sistine Chapel.
That's fabulous.
Brilliant, isn't it? That I haven't fabulous. Even been.
I've been. And I've seen the
sure.
Sistine
I'm
Chapel.
I'm not sure. I'm sure it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, the most amazing thing is the tombs of the popes that you can... I think you can probably still go.
Right.
But you can walk past all of the tombs
where
they're all laid
in. Did it not give you a sense of Catholicism when you were there then? Did it make you feel in any way... different?
No, not at all. It just made me feel like, I mean, they've got rooms full of Raphael paintings and all of these masterpieces, Leonardo da Vinci's and all of this, and you just think, what is all this wealth about? How can you talk to anybody about the poor and be surrounded by all of this extraordinary wealth?
And also, they treat people like slaves, don't they? Because they've all got the equivalent of that woman from Father Ted walking around making the tea. You know, go on. I mean, when I saw Father Ted, every priest I ever was an altar boy for had one of those housekeepers.
Yeah.
They look exactly like
that. That's right. Yeah.
And all they do is make tea.
That's right.
And it was all, and they were almost always Irish.
Yeah.
And they just used to walk around with trays of hot tea.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I was told I was put off by the guy who was the priest, the parish priest in Hampstead, because he chucked a tramp out of the church one day.
Really?
And said, get the hell out. Don't
outrageous.
Ever come back.
Outrageous.
And I was about 14. I thought to myself, that's not very holy.
Well, that's
I mean. He's a homeless guy. We used to call him tramps in those days.
Yeah.
And he tossed it off. He was wearing like three coats. He had a couple of bags with him. And he'd come to the church looking for something, probably money.
Yeah.
And they chucked him out.
That's terrible.
It was awful. So that was the end of me.
You know that Les Miserables?
Yeah.
That opening scene where...
I'm not a fan of musicals. I'm
no, but I really... There's something about that musical I really like.
Really?
But there's...
A lot of people love it. I just can't watch him.
But the guy, what's his name? Jean Van something or other.
I don't know.
Right, the hero of it.
Van Damme.
Jean Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's it. He goes into a church, right? And he's welcomed in by the priest who feeds him and he says, stay the night. And he's really down on his luck and he's like sort of prisoner on probation and all of that. And he sees in the nighttime this sort of like load of plate, silver plate stuff and all of that. And he's so tempted, he steals the silver plate, right? And he runs and he goes out of the church and the priest and his nuns wake up and he's gone and so is all the stuff, right? A few hours later, he's dragged back in by two policemen who've caught him and have recognised all of this expensive stuff.
I think I know this bit,
right?
Yeah.
And they say, we've got the thief, right?
Right?
And they throw him on the floor. And the priest looks at him and says, ah, my son, you've taken all of this, but in your haste to get away, you forgot the best things. Mm. And produces two more silver candlesticks, right, and says, here, take these as well. And says to the soldier, says, oh, no, I gave it all to him, you know. And so, thank
oh,
you
so
on
lets
your way.
Him go.
And he lets him go. Right. And he says, right, you know, take this as a sign and be, let this change yeah. your life. And I think, as schmaltzy and as corny as all that is, that is precisely what the church should do.
Then?
Eh?
Why is it called Les Miserables then?
Well, it's after the novel by Victor Hugo.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't that start off with a kind of good ending?
Well, they were all pretty miserable by the end.
I suppose. Yeah. Listen, we know what we haven't done. We haven't looked at the old email scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Should we not check
I should mention, by the way,
before...
there used to be a sub-editor on the Liverpool Echo we worked with called Les Palmer. But he was always very dour, so his office nickname was Les Miserables.
That's very good. I like that a lot.
Right. Okay.
Let's do one. Pick the best one.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. So okay. So this is from a guy called Ian Hannay.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Ian. And he sent us a Rod Little article actually from the Spectator.
Oh, we like Rod.
The insanity of terrorism.
I keep trying to get him on.
Well,
he's not an easy guy to pin down.
So Ian writes to thoughtpolicepod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Dear Mike and Matt, I listened to your podcast today, being annoyed as ever by Matt's metropolitan liberal indecisive waffle. Mike, you have the right attitude with your plan to take these guys, these are the Muslim terrorists,
yes,
and incarcerate them in a remote and fairly Spartan place. Not totally Spartan, just
fairly Spartan,
to rot out their time.
Well, a lot of people have started to adopt this idea, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as wildly out of the kilter as you would imagine.
Yeah. So Rod Liddell's plan, he says, read Rod Liddell's plan, which is even better.
Yeah.
And I haven't read it, so I'm not sure what it is, but we'll get to it. I've copied the article, blah, blah, blah. As I know that Matt would find it almost impossible to read anything from such a source. Well, that's not true, actually.
Well, that's not true, because you're actually a good mate of Rod Little's, aren't you?
I am, and I disagree with a lot of what he says, but I respect his right to say it.
But
this is
why people like this particular podcast, because we do disagree on quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we haven't mentioned as well, just before we go, is the old Philip Schofield situation.
Oh, yeah.
What do you make of that?
I couldn't give a toss. I mean, let me clarify.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a toss about whether Philip Schofield's gay or not.
Right.
Nor whether anyone's gay or not. Mm. But I couldn't give a toss about Philip Schofield. I just find him completely odious and a non-entity.
Yeah.
I don't like the guy at all.
Yeah, I mean, loads of people seem to be coming out and saying he's such a great guy, he's so brave. I wish they stopped using the word brave for a start.
Come on.
I mean, the thing is, I'm exactly the same as you. When it happened last week, I thought, well, why is this even a story?
Yeah.
The only story I'm interested in is why he decided to come out and say it.
Yeah.
And that's the story, to me.
And when we find out
what that story is...
Someone put the arm on him,
He's denied that, of course, which he would do.
Yeah.
But I just think there must be something more to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that will be, but I'm sure that in time we will discover what it is.
I just can't stand the guy. I think he's the most smarmy man on
TV.
He's
very smarmy.
And underneath that smarminess, I suspect there is quite a nasty streak of nasty. Well, I've certainly met
people from the same business as him
who have not
described him in words that I can use on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
And I think you and I were both at the same party when that was said.
Well, listen, on that note, what we can say to the readers, the listeners, is see you next Tuesday.
And we can say that. And we will, in fact, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Right. He's absolutely right. Again, Matt Kelly and Mike Graham, we are the Thought Police. See you next Tuesday. You can be depressed about the death of your mother, but you're not still then thinking, how the hell am I going to get through the rest of my life? Because
if he was, he's managed to keep it to himself right up until the moment he met Meghan.
There's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Well, now suddenly she's convinced him that
he's
damaged goods.
You've got to be in touch with your feelings,
darling. Yeah, I mean, he claims he's been seeing a therapist for 7 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That means he was seeing a therapist, by my reckoning, when he was, you know, hanging about with a lot of strippers in Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what he told the therapist, but he looked like he was quite happy then.
Yeah.
And I know it's not that simple. But I know that you can't assume that everyone who's happy is happy because they're wealthy or because they've got a nice life. But certainly it's true to say, and this is another Kelvin saying, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness, but it buys you an awful lot of nice places to go to be miserable in.
Yeah.
You know, which is true. That was one of the more bizarre pieces of news footage I've ever seen, was his helicopter flying him away from the Vatican. Do you remember?
Yes, that's right. To I found the that Castle almost, Gandolfo.
I found it almost as kind of mesmerising as the O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Like Nixon going away in Marine One.
Yeah, yeah, but it was so weird.
Yeah.
That he suddenly just disappeared. It's like a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And you don't hear from him now.
I don't think... He didn't disappear into a puff of smoke. What are you talking about?
Well, no, but it felt like he
flew off in a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was like, he just was suddenly one day he was there, the next minute he's gone.
And all the sound, and the sound, by the way, was that of rotor blades.
I knew you'd get that in.
Now, I do actually have some knowledge of shrimps. He wasn't a Nazi.
He was
in the Hitler Youth.
He was in Hitler Youth. Oh, yeah, okay,
but,
sorry.
No, but you got everyone was. You didn't have any choice.
Wasn't. No.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.